And this is Shattering Myths, a program committed to exposing the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, our mission will be to help you appreciate what's occurring behind the headlines, to expose the motivations of the perpetrators, and to share what you can do to help protect your family, all while presenting how these events will shape America and the world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage Yahweh on his terms by way of his one and only covenant and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with God's guidance, we will be able to replace religion with reason. Our phone number, if you would like to engage in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. I had made considerable progress over these last few days in trying to outline the issues surrounding America's economy, its deficit, its taxation policies, and trying to compare those to who controlled the purse strings of America and controlled Congress. I'm going to postpone our review of our conclusion of the review of these issues as they relate to America's ultimate demise, because there's another issue in the news that I would like to present instead. One actually that will have more to do with the fate of humanity as we move into the last days. There was a editorial piece presented on CNN trying to defend CNN and trying to assail one of its rivals. It was written by Howard Kurtz. It deals with Murdoch. This from CNN's Kurtz. He writes, over the weekend, Murdoch sent out a tweet that went beyond outrageous to offensive, truly offensive. He played off the worst kind of historical libel against Jews. All right, so what he has said as CNN is that they are playing off the worst kind of historical libel against Jews. Now, my guess is that the worst kind of historical libel against Jews would be taking a French novel, changing the characters in it, and changing the title so you could take a book that had nothing to do with Jews and call it the master plan of the Jewish people and the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which was promoted as a farce both in Stalin's Russia and in Hitler's Germany to create the worst kind of scandal, one that led to millions of Jews being killed in both Nazi Germany and in communist Russia. You could do what Paul did and what Christians have done thereafter and blame Jews for killing their Jesus Christ, and therefore condemn Jews to a life of misery. You could even blame Jews, saying that they had offended their God and therefore they had been replaced by the Christian church, which had every right to oppress them. Those are some of the great libels in human history. Today, the great libel against Jews in the media is the bias against Israel in the media. But CNN is foremost among those presenting a bias against Israel, as we shall discover. And so when Murdoch brings this to the attention of the world, the pit bulls at CNN come out. The editorial piece continues. The subject was the violence flaring in the Middle East, with Israel mounting airstrikes in Gaza after a long series of rocket attacks by the Hamas government. So here again, CNN shows its bias. Rather than putting the cause before the effect, they put the effect after the cause. It's the long series of rocket attacks against Israel and their continued increase in these rocket attacks that caused Israel to go after the perpetrators, to stop them. It is that simple. Don't change the order. It also speaks of the Hamas government. There is no government of Gaza. Hamas was elected to be the government of the West Bank. But Fatah, the derivative of the PLO, was not elected and is the only recognized government by the rest of the world, even though they were not actually elected. And so Hamas has gone to Gaza to turn it into a living hellhole. The message that that Murdoch wrote is, quote, "Why is Jewish-owned press so consistently anti-Israel in every crisis?" End quote. Now, what this editorial from CNN chose to do is ignore the second part of the statement, ignore its conclusion. Why is the press so consistently anti-Israel in every crisis? That's the truth. But CNN was unwilling to discuss the conclusion. Instead, because Murdoch associated the press with Jews, they had a field day. Now, the reality is that most of the media in the world is not owned by Jews. The reality is also that while Jews represent a tiny fraction of 1% of the world's population and less than 3% of America's population, they represent they have a much greater influence over the media through journalists and through editors and through CEOs of these companies than their 3% of the population would indicate. So there is some truth to this, although that's not the issue and it should not have been presented from a racial perspective. You know, there is also truth to why would Jews predominantly vote for Obama, who is pro-Islam and anti-Israel. But they did. There is no reason to hide from that reality. It was foolish. So anyway, the article, the editorial, I should say, from Howard Kurtz of CNN continues. That's right. He said Jewish-owned press. Now, again, what did he focus on? Jewish-owned press? Did he focus on so consistently anti-Israel in every crisis, which was the point? No. Because he can't defend that position. He can't defend CNN. So he says, who is exactly is he talking about? Well, there's the Jewish heritage of the Sulzberger family, which owns the New York Times, and Murdoch sees as a rival. Beyond that, most media outlets are owned by public companies, Comcast, which owns NBC, Viacom, which owns CBS, Disney, which owns ABC, Time Warner, which owns CNN, the Tribune Company, which owns the Chicago Tribune and the Los Angeles Times, the Gannett company, which owns USA Today, the Graham family, which owns the Washington Post. And she isn't Jewish. But the fact that he has missed here is that if you were to take the journalists on international stories and the editors and the executives of these firms with Jewish heritage and you provide a percentage of them for against the whole of their reporting team as a percentage of the population, you'd find that it is disproportionate. That being the case, it's still irrelevant. He goes on to say, and isn't there something rich about a complaint about the media ownership by a man who controls Fox News, the Fox Broadcast Networks, 20th Century Fox, and the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, the Times of London, the Sunday Times, Sky News, HarperCollins, and other properties? Perhaps it takes one to know one. But the heart of Murdoch's indictment is far more troubling. He is suggesting that Jewish Americans have a hidden agenda in which their religion trumps their commitment to journalism. Hence, Murdoch finds these outlets allegedly dominated by Jews to be anti-Israel. Perhaps he thinks they are out of some self-loathing variety. Here is the reality. He didn't reference the Jewish religion. You did, CNN. The reality is that the vast preponderance of Jews who are engaged in the media are secular Jews. They are opposed, if you will, distant from the heritage of Israel, as they should be. There is, however, a historical precedent for Jews doing things that are counterproductive to Jews. Now, that is happens to be a historical reality. Had it not been for Jews in Yathrib selling quotations from their Talmud to Muhammad, Islam would never have come to exist. And their enemy today would not be their enemy. The reality is that a wannabe rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, of course, Paul, created the religion of Christianity that has oppressed Jews for so very long. Even socialist secular humanism, the very religion that has dominated the media, is an outgrowth of Jews. Conceived, in fact, by one Adam Weishaupt. So there is some truth to this. It's a truth that hits a little too close to home for a lot of Jews. But it's irrelevant to the media reporting. Earlier, Murdoch, who had tweeted that Israel's position was precarious, adding, watch CNN and AP. The AP is owned by Muslims. The primary investor, I think, in the AP, at least it was, and it probably still is, Saudi Arabia, has a bias to the point of embarrassment. And this is true. They have a bias to the point of embarrassment, at least if you're informed. Media mogul or not, he is entitled to criticize other coverage as he sees fit, but it's hard to evaluate his complaints since his 140 characters contain not a single example of questionable reporting. Well, I'm going to provide some this morning. The Middle East is a minefield, even for the most scrupulous journalists. There are no journalists today. There are reporters. There are no journalists. To be a journalist, you have to investigate the evidence, and you have to be able to string evidence, facts together to come to an understanding. No one is capable of doing that in the media today, including this man who writes this editorial. A photo of a wounded Palestinian often brings complaints that Israel is being treated unfairly as its casualties are not highlighted. A story on Israelis wounded by Hamas rockets often causes grumbling that the Palestinian plight is being unfairly minimized. Murdoch is obviously strongly pro-Israel, which may mean that he bristles at any coverage that doesn't sympathize with Benjamin Netanyahu's government. Again, biased in every word. We'll return to this story after the break. Well, I am Yada. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're dealing with a story about a tweet from Murdoch regarding the bias of the media, particularly CNN. And then the holier-than-thou CNN bulldog talks about how it is a minefield even for a scrupulous journalist. Well, let me tell you about the scrupulous journalist. We're going to have a guest on this program next week, Ben Barak, who is specifically going to address how CNN is complicit in creating stories that do not exist, literally like it was a movie set. There are two incidences this week, one with a man who was supposedly killed in an Israeli airstrike that after he is paraded and his body is paraded down the street with all the mourners, he is shown at the end of a clip which CNN cut from its presentation on the news as is laughing and walking and dancing with the crowd. There's another that is identical with the body of a young boy. In fact, there's one that's really funny from years ago where the young boy in the coffin actually sits up and somebody has to put him back down. It is commonplace for Muslims to, with explicit participation by CNN, to create images that are falsified. And we'll have a guest on next week to address that. As it relates to this being tit for tat and showing bodies on both sides, the reality is that Jews do everything they can to try to minimize civilian casualties, and Muslims target the civilians. They are not morally equivalent. So this editor concludes, one thing, however, is clear. Murdoch has undermined his own credibility by lashing out at what he calls the Jew-owned organizations. He should follow the advice that editors routinely give employees. Think before you tweet, for words like weapons can wound. And, of course, the CNN bulldog has impugned himself with his own reply. We're going to go now to a story on CNN, actually two of them. The first of them is is under the headline, Israeli Forces Target a Media Building. So the headline itself is grotesquely misleading and designed to mislead for a specific purpose. So, Scott, could you please play the first clip?
In the afternoon, we heard three large explosions. We saw a great big ball of flame coming out of the third floor. It appears to have been an Israeli airstrike. This is the Sharuf building. It contains the offices of Al-Aqsa Television, a television station affiliated with the Hamas movement. It also was hit the day before. Apparently, people in the building did get a phone call from the Israeli military telling them to leave. Now, we did see at least one man being taken out on a stretcher by the ambulance services. That man was severely burned.
All right. So here we have under the headline, and the world headline was presented in the media throughout the world as Israelis commit a war crime by bombing a media building. The fact is that media building housed a radio tower that was being used specifically to coordinate rocket attacks, and it was the propaganda arm of not only Islamic Jihad, but also of the Hamas movement. And so it was not only a command and control center, but it was also a place of propaganda on behalf of those trying to incite Muslims to hate Jews. Beyond that, what he did not explain is who the fellow was that was burned. He was the head of Islamic Jihad's militant wing. And also, he did not say, but it needs to be asked, why is CNN occupying a building? Why do they have offices in the same building that are next door to Islamic Jihad and to the Hamas movement's propaganda wing? Why would they choose to be there unless their agenda was the same? All right, Scott, let's go ahead.
The thing that is brought up in that thing is that he does say that they called the building before they bombed it. And they told the people that you need to leave.
I'm glad you brought that up. Can you imagine a more compassionate aggressor, and this is the case that's actually a defender, in Israel, by actually telling the people, listen, we don't want to kill any people. We want to destroy the ability of this building to serve its current purpose, which is destructive to our nation. And so before we bomb it, we have your telephone number. We called every, and they do this routinely. It's not just in this case. Mm-hmm. Israel calls the occupants of every building before they bomb the building. So if Israel is going to bomb something because it is strategic to the movement that wishes to destroy it and kill its people, they actually try to diminish casualties by calling the occupants. Can you imagine any country that compassionate, that concerned with civilians? Truly amazing. Unprecedented in world history. We're going to go to another media story after we return to Shattering Myths. This in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. If you would like to engage in this discussion or challenge anything I have to say, you can call toll-free at 877-300-7645. Before we go on and play the second clip, I do want to provide a little background. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. The reason that Israel is retaliating against the so-called mythical people known as the Palestinians is a direct derivative of other events that have taken place around the world. First, years, the United States invaded Iraq and gave Iran's only enemy to the mullahs who controlled Tehran. And so by removing Iran's only enemy and empowering Iran so that it has a reach now through Iraq, through Syria, and through Lebanon into Israel, and now that with this having been done, having Iran be free to manufacture and ship missiles to the to Hamas in Gaza, that the shipment of these Iranian designed and manufactured missiles into Gaza and their deployment in record numbers is a direct derivative of the United States invasion of Iraq, which was suicidal, counterproductive. Second, the United States and Europe decided to equip through Sudan, so through Qatar and through Saudi Arabia, the Muslim terrorists, the jihadists, who were seeking to overthrow the secular government of Muammar Gaddafi. And those weapons, now that they are in the hands of people who control that country, fundamentalist Muslim jihadists, are going to the next great jihad, which they want to be in Israel. And so now with the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of Egypt, Egypt has given up controlling the Sinai, which was part of the Camp David Accords. And now the Sinai is a war zone. There are tens of thousands of Islamic jihadists in the Sinai, and the weapons that were deployed, that were supplied and deployed in Libya, have now been taken to the Sinai, and they're being imported in record numbers into Gaza. And so Israel is now the subject of a record number of rocket assaults on its towns. Israel had no choice but to respond. Now, if you think of what happened to London during World War II, when the Germans lobbed missiles into London, the response by Churchill was to direct an American firebombing of Dresden, where we killed hundreds of thousands of women and children, as a response to the missiles that were fired into London. And the response of America when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor was ultimately to bomb night after night Japanese cities, killing up to 50,000 Japanese men, women, and children, civilians, every night. Indiscriminate horror. And yet, when the Jews respond by saying, you know, the guy that is most responsible for orchestrating this increased number of rocket attacks against our people, we're going to surgically kill him. And then what we're going to do is we're going to strike at the rocket batteries, and then we're going to strike at the command and control facilities and the weapons repositories of those who are seeking to attack us. It is impossible to find a historic precedent for a nation more restrained to a consistent assault on its people than what we witness in Israel, and yet the media wants to present it as if Israel is wrong. Scott, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was going to say that, well, my original comment was that, you know, think about 9/11, when that happened. How did every, you know...
We invaded two countries.
We invaded two countries because of it.
A million people are dead as a result.
And we did it without any restraint. We just went in there and we bombed...
We called it shock and awe, didn't we?
We did everything we wanted. But the other thing is, every target that you just listed off, those are all, they'd be considered military targets. That's where you're aiming at command centers. You're aiming at things
weapons
like that.
Weapons repositories. Uh-huh.
And then
missile sites.
In buildings where they knew that civilians were in there, they called that building and said, "Hey, you got to get out.
Right?
We're going to bomb it. You got to get out."
But so, the Muslims want their children to die as martyrs, to parade them in front of the world's cameras, so that they can garner sympathy as if they're being victimized.
Well, all those bombings in different markets and everything like that by suicide bombers, did they get innocent people away?
No, they're targeted the innocent people.
So, I mean,
that's why these are not morally comparable. Beyond that, it all loses sight of cause and effect. Scott, would you mind playing the first 38 seconds of this clip that I shared with you earlier this morning from CNN? A woman from CNN is quote-unquote interviewing an Israeli government spokesperson.
First of all, I want you to confirm or deny the fact that cabinet ministers are meeting in the next hour or so in Tel Aviv to discuss a ceasefire proposal from Egyptian mediators. This is a report I'm seeing in Haaretz. Is that the case or not? Is there a meeting tonight?
There have been meetings since this started, ongoing, the Prime Minister with his senior ministers discussing how this operation is moving forward. That there would be a meeting tonight shouldn't be seen as something special. I think, obviously, we're monitoring what's going on the ground very closely, the military activity and, of course, the parallel diplomatic activity.
All right. So she begins by saying, I want you to confirm or deny a fact. The fact that... Now, she's not asking a question. When you ask someone to confirm or deny a fact, you're predisposing that your information is factual, so there's no purpose for the question. Now, the fact is, though, that the Israeli spokesperson answered the question directly. He answered it completely. There is no special meeting. They've been meeting ever since this began. So are they meeting? Yes, they're meeting. They've been meeting since this began. Now, Let's go on from this predisposed beginning where she speaks of a fact and asks a question, and then how the Israeli spokesperson answered the question directly and completely. Let's hear what happens next.
All right, so should not be seen as something special. What do you mean by that? That we're far from any kind of deal?
I don't know yet. The goal of Israel is clear. We want to come out of this operation with a new situation in the southern part of Israel where our civilian population no longer has to fear an incoming rocket fired by Hamas in Gaza. From our point of view, that's the end game. If that can be achieved through diplomacy, that's good. If not, it'll be achieved through Israel.
All right. So she says that because he can't confirm that a meeting is special as opposed to their meeting, yes, I can confirm their meeting, they continue to meet, she immediately goes to, so we're far from a deal, as if creating a deal with the Muslims who have for 1,400 years sought to destroy Israel and wipe out every Jew on earth, a war that Muslims started 1,400 years ago with the assault on the four Jewish communities in and around today's Medina, yesterday's Yathrib. And the man answers the question. He says, I don't know yet. Now, of course he doesn't know if we're close to a deal because he's dealing with Muslims who have never created a deal with Israel that had any value to Israel. Never once in 1,400 years. How do you ask a man, are we close to a deal, when in fact the very people he's dealing with have it as part of their religious edict not only to destroy Jews and to kill them and to despise them, but to lie to them? Yes, Scott?
You just brought up what I was going to say. Aren't they allowed to lie if it gets them what they want?
Specifically, the Quran's ninth surah says that any agreement between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is not binding on the Muslim. And so the Quran itself specifically says that a Muslim is encouraged to follow Muhammad's example and to form deals with non-Muslims that they do not honor for the express purpose of making their foes more vulnerable. Now, of course, the CNN journalist is unaware of this because she does not know that the hatred of Jews by Muslims goes back to Muhammad, that it has a 1,400-year history, and that Muslims hate Jews for two reasons. One is the Quran and their prophet order them to do so. And the second, they're jealous. Jews have been productive. Muslims have not been. Muslims are destructive while Jews are productive, and therefore there's envy. Now, once again, the Israeli government spokesperson answered the question more directly than you're going to find any American White House spokesperson answering a question. He directly answered the question. He says, I don't know yet. And the reason I don't know yet is because here is what we're trying to achieve. If that is achievable through diplomatic means, wonderful. If it isn't, then we will deploy military means. But our agenda is really simple. We want to allow our citizens to live without the fear of rockets being rained down upon them. And yet, the CNN woman was incapable of processing that information, which was a precise and complete and pertinent, rational answer to her question, and she instead became belligerent and condescending. Let's play the next segment.
But how far are we from that? I mean, because everybody, it seems, from all sides, the United States, Egypt, other observers and actors in the region, don't want this to escalate and want this to stop. There are talks going on in Cairo. Ban Ki-moon is coming. The Arab League is going to visit the Gaza Strip as well. How far are we from a possible solution that is diplomatic and that doesn't involve more and more airstrikes and more deaths?
I don't know. We are ready today, Israel, to start a situation where we can have longevity and agreement in which the population of southern Israel no longer has to live in fear. The problem is, my impression is that Hamas just wants a respite. They want a timeout. We've been hitting them hard and they want to have time to rest. That's not a ceasefire. That means we'll be back here 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now with more rockets on the south. We want to come out of this in a situation where we can have a new reality for Israel's citizens who've been on the receiving end of all those rockets.
But I'm just
if that can be done diplomatically, good.
So what she said is, everyone just wants this to stop. Now, he told her, as has Israel repeatedly told the world, how to get this to stop. Israel will stop retaliating and defending itself the moment Hamas stops sending rockets into Israel. He told her what would cause this to stop, and yet she was incapable or unwilling to process it, and instead spoke of a diplomatic solution that would cause the airstrikes and more deaths to diminish. Incapable of processing cause and effect. Jaundice, polluted, incapable of reason as a result of her religion. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths. We're talking about the media's coverage of the conflict in Israel, where Hamas has chosen and has taken the opportunity now that Egypt is supportive with the Muslim Brotherhood in control, now that weapons are flowing out of Libya with United States sponsorship, now that rockets are able to flow from Iran since America invaded Iraq, that Egypt is that Israel is now in a position where it must defend itself from this steady assault by Muslims, and the world is now criticizing Israel. This wicked witch on CNN is a glaring example, screaming at the Israeli spokesperson, the whole world wants you to stop this. They want a diplomatic solution, no more airstrikes, no more deaths, when all that needs to happen is to hold Hamas accountable. Hamas is a terrorist organization. Hamas is committed to the destruction of Israel. Hamas is sending rockets from Israel, from Gaza into Israel. Should Hamas recount its commitment to destroy Israel? And should they stop sending rockets into Israel? You don't even need a diplomatic solution. The problem is over. Scott, let's go play the next segment of this anti-Semitic rant by the CNN spokeswoman. Oh, I don't hear
for specifics in terms of the talks. Is there currently an Israeli envoy in Cairo as we speak?
Haller, I'm going to have to disappoint you. I don't know if these talks are going to succeed, but if they are to succeed, they have to be conducted with total discretion. So all I can say is our goal here is ultimately defensive. We want to come out of this with a situation where our civilian population in the south can live normal lives and not always be running to bomb shelters. That's our end game.
But so you're not confirming or denying that there is right now an Israeli official in Cairo engaging in any talks on any level. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And I also want to stress that we are keeping, as you said yourself, we're keeping the military option for a possible ground incursion ready. If the diplomatic process unfortunately doesn't bring that sort of quiet that we require, that the end of missiles, we are prepared to escalate. We are prepared to put more military pressure on Hamas. We hope.
So here you go. As I have experienced in debating religious zealots, the moment that you demonstrate that the original question, you've answered the original question, and you demonstrate that the other person has no argument, that they do not understand cause and effect, which the Israeli spokesperson has done time and again, what the advocate that is promoting his or her religion, and this is what the CNN spokesperson is doing, they changed the subject. So now she changed the subject to an envoy in Cairo as opposed to a meeting in Tel Aviv. And the Israeli spokesperson comes back and says, you know, if there is such a meeting taking place, the last thing I could do was disclose it, because if it is to succeed, there has to be discretion. Now, why would he say that? Because he knows that Egypt, in all of his public statements, have come out in support of Hamas, that they aren't a peacemaker, that they're not a unbiased intermediary, that they want the destruction of Israel. And so if there is a public disclosure of a meeting taking place in Cairo, the Egyptian people would rise up in their government and demand that the envoy be killed and that Egypt launch a military assault into Israel. That's why discretion is required. Is this journalist capable of processing that? No. And consider the reality here, that what she wants is accommodation as opposed to resolution. What the Israelis want is accountability. They want resolution. They want their people to be free of rockets being fired from Gaza. They want to be freed from terrorist attacks on their people. Nothing more, nothing less. And they're going to achieve that one way or the other. Before we go on to the next clip, we have Roland calling in from Texas. Hello, Roland. Welcome to Shattering Myths.
Hello. Yeah, it's great to hear you. I've been listening to your program since, I think, about maybe 2008. And for a while I lost you there, but then I caught back up with you. But I just want to let you know I appreciate you, and I thank you so much for the insight and your teaching to help me to grow. And I'm just so glad that they're revealing the truth instead of always having to, you know, deal with people that think.
Roland, I want to have you hang on to that thought. Please hold on after the break, and we'll get back to you. This is Shattering Myths. Please join us after the break.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I've